they must have wanted to be at home. The Israelites had been promised back in Genesis 12. God said to Abraham, I will make you a great nation. And this land, Abraham, where you stand, I'll give to your descendants. And in chapter 15 of Genesis, God walks Abraham out under a darkened sky and says, if you can count the stars, your descendants are going to be more numerous than these stars. There were promises. Promises made to Abraham. That now Joshua and Caleb and those who stand at the edge of the promised land are about to receive. If scholars have it right, from the time they leave Egypt to the wilderness of Paran, it's taken them somewhere between 12 and 15 months. They've been walking about a year and 3 months. And the distance they've traveled is from here to Indianapolis. It's about 240 miles, and it's taken them over a year. They've gone no more than about a mile a day, but if you could have seen the caravan, you'd understand why it's taken so long. There they are, 1 year, year and 3 months into their journey, and they're standing at the wilderness of Paran, and God says to Moses, I want you to pick one from every tribe. And I want you to gather them, and I want you to send them into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And I want you to tell them to watch and to look and to see if the land is good and if the land is fertile and if the cities are large and if they're fortified. I want to find out who's there and whom my people will have to defeat. Moses, send the 12 and give them 40 days, for 40 days is enough to catch a glimpse of the future I have in store. This was the God that had made them a people and made those promises to Abraham. This was the God who had been a pillar of fire by night and a pillar of smoke by day. This was the God that had parted the Red Sea. This was the God who had kept them for those 15 months, and their shoes didn't wear out and their clothes did not fray. This was the God who let manna fall from heaven and quail run in front of them. This was the God who had kept them and had blessed them, and now their toes were on the edge of the promised land. And then they come back carrying a pole between two men with grapes so large. Here was the proof that God's land was so rich. They come back and Moses says, make the report. And 10 of them say, there are giants in the land. There are barriers we cannot cross. And we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. And Caleb says, no. We can do this. But the people listen to the 10. And if you read into the 14th chapter, you find out they wanted to stone Moses and Aaron and Joshua. The people were so frightened they couldn't believe the report of the land. They had lost sight of this God who had brought them so far. They'd lost sight of this God who had blessed them and kept them. They'd lost sight of their promise. Sat down on the promise of God. Beloved, why couldn't they believe? Why couldn't they recite their own history and their own story? Why couldn't they come together in a unified prayer and say, the same God who has brought us this far, the same God that kept us even when we were slaves in Egypt, the same God is with us now. Why couldn't they come and trust that God? Those questions would be interesting to postulate. They'd be interesting to investigate. Another question, and it's more resonant for us today. For you see, in just a few moments, after we finish our worship and bless our food and delight in our lunch, in just a few moments, we're going to essentially put our toes at the edge of our own promised land. You see, in just a few moments, we're going to hear the results from the survey that we completed. And we are going to hear that the land that exists in front of this church on this corner for 168 years is good land. It's fertile land. You're going to hear that we have high energy and high satisfaction. You're going to hear that we've got the kind of energy that lets us move into a place of transformation. You're going to hear that our highest goals are equipping one another for ministry and service and reaching out beyond this wall to serve our community. You're going to hear that we delight and desire to know God better. But you're also going to hear that to go over into this land, there are going to be some giants. Just like the ten told the people of Israel, I see the Nephilim, I see the giants. There's some giants that we're going to have to face. And some of those giants, our church does not happen the way it used to. Church does not hold relevancy for people outside in the way it did when I was a child, and some of you were in a child. Some of the giants we're going to have to face is what we think is relevant and what we think is important may not be the same as whom we desire to be here with us. There are some giants we have to face about the cultural shift in what faith and religion and church mean in the 21st century. There are some giants we have to face. And my question is, will we sound like Caleb or the ten? There's some barriers we're going to have to cross. There's some barriers like we really like each other and we really only want people to come who are just like us. There's some barriers we're going to have to cross because we want to focus on what goes on inside our walls. And we're going to learn that what is valuable is what goes on from inside but intends to change that which is outside. There are some barriers we're going to have to leap over because it's just different. And so are we. But the question is, who will we be? Caleb? Or the ten? Well, we remember that God has sustained this church and kept this church for 168 years. Well, we remember that 8 years ago when I arrived, we were down to... Now we're averaging about 80. Well, we remember when we didn't think we will make our budget, but God said, I will bless you and open the windows of heaven and I'll pour out a blessing you won't even know what to do or how to receive. Well, we remember that in difficult times and in challenging times, the same God who inhabits this place right now, that same God walked with us and carried us and made provision and gave us a vision. Who will we be like? Caleb or the ten? For God says, I planted you here. I know the plans I have for you, community church, plans to prosper you and not to harm. Plans to give you hope and a future. I know the plans in Isaiah 43 because I've called you mine. I've kept you together. When the waters rushed, you did not drown. When the flames rose up, you did not burn. I've called you. I've claimed you. You are mine. I know what Jesus says, that I'll be with you always until the end of the age. I know what Paul says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. And by asking, make your requests known, and the very God of peace will keep you. Beloved, we are in an amazing position as a church. Our toes are on the edge of a journey, of a place. And we've got to catch that glimpse. And we've got to be willing to fight giants and jump over barriers. And we've got to be willing to do what the Israelites in that text did not do. We may not stone Amy and Nancy. We may not. But we have to come together. And we have to pray. And we have to believe that the God who has kept us this long will not come up short of His promise for us to go forward. We have to be the Joshua and the Caleb. And we cannot compare ourselves to anyone else. We cannot worry about how fast X church is growing or how large Y church looks. We cannot look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. For we are the chosen of God, whom God delighted to place here on purpose and for a purpose. Beloved, I imagine as they got closer and closer to the wilderness of Paran, I imagine as they got closer and closer, and Moses was saying to them, that's the promised land right over there. We can almost see it. I imagine that the electricity in the body politic of Israel just grew. And I pray that that's what happens to us today. That as we get closer and closer to the vision and to the purpose and to the reason God has placed us here, that we will sound more and more like Joshua and Caleb, that we will quiet any disquieters and say, we can do this because we go with God's guidance, God's permission, and our unified voices lifted in thanksgiving and in prayer. We can do all through Christ who strengthens us. We can God has given to our hands to do through Christ who strengthens us. Now your hearts, prepare now your minds, prepare now your prayer, and put on a Joshua that together we might see our version of God's promised land for this church, in this day, in this time, for this assembly of hands and hearts. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story. That's us. That's us. Crown your current church's story. As our God, we lift our hearts and our minds to join what you have prepared for us to do. Grant us wisdom. Grant us courage for the keeping of this hour. For the keeping of this hour. Amen.